Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Just an hour ago, Ian became a hurricane. I'll show you when and where it could become Category 4 and where it could possibly make landfall.
Right now at 6, the community is preparing to weigh in on a controversial program. It's designed to stop gun violence in Durham. WRAL's Laura Levine is live with the new roadblock city leaders are facing over ShotSpotter technology.
And today's the first day of All-American Week at Fort Bragg. The current and former paratroopers set to face off during this week-long competition. And some of those soldiers are getting ready to run this morning. Yes, for the division run. We're off and running this morning with you to get your work week started. I'm Renee Chu.
I'm Jeff Hogan. It's good to have you along. It's one of the best days of the week starting right now as we get things going. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with what is happening right now with Hurricane Ian.
This is our big news, of course, this morning. It became a hurricane in the 5 o'clock advisory this morning. It has winds right now at 75 miles per hour. The storm is moving northwest at 14. It is likely to move past Cuba and eventually make landfall, possibly in Florida. This is a look at the path here, and you can see Category 3 as it moves across the western tip of Cuba, possibly becoming Category 4, and that would likely be late Tuesday night into early Wednesday. Category 3 potentially approaching Florida, but you can see this forecast fan is still huge. It covers a large area of Florida, all the way from Tampa back here across parts of the Panhandle. It may run into a trough of low pressure that slows it down and weakens it a little bit before it makes landfall. So right now, we're not expecting it to make landfall as a major hurricane, but again, that area where it could make landfall could be huge. And by the end of the week, Friday into Saturday, we could be seeing some heavy rain from some of the remnants here. 62 degrees, beautiful morning for us. We had a cold front move through just a little while ago. Our dew point sitting at 57. It's 52 right now in Roxborough, nice and chilly there. 62 in the Triangle, 69 currently in Clinton. We take a look at our school day forecast. It's going to be a pretty day. We're looking at nice start this morning with a few clouds. It'll be partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 82. And of course, coming up in just a little while, we'll talk more about what our local impacts could be from the remnants of Ian. Michelle?
All right, thank you, Elizabeth. Michelle McConaughey in for Brian Schrader this morning, taking you out on the roadways, tracking two crashes right now because of an earlier crash on Millbrook Road. They are dealing with some fallen power lines right now, and they're seeing about just over 400 delays, power outages, I should say, in that area. So we're going to keep an eye on that for you as well. And then I'm tracking the second crash up in Hillsboro. This is I-40 eastbound at exit 263. That's been there since about 5 o'clock this morning. That is not causing any delays this morning.
Thanks, Michelle. We continue to track the new developments from the tropics within the last hour. As Elizabeth said, Ian has been upgraded Category 1 hurricane, rapidly intensifying. This is the storm's path right now, and here's what you need to know as this moves north. Authorities in Cuba are beginning evacuations today as that storm takes aim at the island. Ian's expected to reach Cuba by tonight or early tomorrow morning. Meantime, people living in Florida are bracing for a hit from Ian as well. This is a live look on the right side of your screen there, Tampa downtown. Both President Biden and Governor Ron DeSantis have declared states of emergency there to free up funds for the storm. Local Red Cross chapters are also preparing to help.
We have two concerns. One is supporting our teammates that are in the North Florida Gulf Coast area where the storm may indeed impact. And so we prepare and send some qualified individuals there. At the same time, we're doing call downs and evaluating where our own teams are so that if something does happen in the Carolinas, we can also respond.
Meanwhile, we're getting a new look at the aftermath of Fiona. The storm hit the eastern part of Canada over the weekend, killing at least one woman who was swept out to sea. More than 20 homes were destroyed, and officials say recovery could take months. WRAL's Ken Smith is in the live center tracking the damage from Fiona. Ken, very unusual for Canada.
Absolutely, and these are the Atlantic provinces of Canada as well. New video into our newsroom show the Canadian military helping with relief efforts. This is new video of troops of the 5th Canadian Division heading to Prince Edward Island to help with hurricane relief. Let me show you some of the damage that happened on that island. You can see the roof was ripped off here on this building. Also, lots of trees down, power lines down. Crews were out all weekend trying to clear all those trees as well. And a similar scene played out in many of the neighborhoods in Prince Edward Island. But the good news in all this, according to the premier, no injuries were reported on Prince Edward Island.
Ian and Fiona aren't the only storms causing damage. In the next 10 minutes, we'll show you the impacts of a major typhoon in the Philippines. And as we monitor all these storms, you can follow updates with the WREL weather app on your phone. It's free to download wherever you get your apps.
This evening, a controversial plan to reduce gun violence in Durham will take center stage once again as new concerns emerge about its rollout. We're talking about the ShotSpotter pilot program, and WRL's Laura Levine is live in the Bull City right now, and tonight is another chance for people to weigh in, Laura.
Well, McDougal Terrace is one of those deployment areas. So today's next step, speaking with people in that community, is very crucial. It's a community where gun violence is front and center. Now, Durham Police is working to be more transparent about the rollout of ShotSpotters with all of the latest information online. The latest data that they have says that a combined 32% of the 81 proposed sensor site permissions have been obtained. So this means really right now, the original timeline, ShotSpotter was already supposed to be operational in Durham by now, but that was delayed from mid-September to mid-November. Now, the latest obstacle they face, Durham Public Schools has denied requests to place the sensors on 6 school buildings, which can once again affect the rollout and time frame of the gunshot detection technology.
I am concerned about the potentially detrimental messages that it would convey to our students, having an item of surveillance on their school buildings.
Now, representatives with ShotSpotters as well as Durham Police are expected to have a presentation today for those residents and really lay out their plans for that community. The community forum will take place at 5 o'clock this afternoon at Burton Elementary School. Laura Levine, WRL News. We're live in Durham.
A man accused of killing his mother in a Raleigh neighborhood will face a judge today. Right now, 25-year-old Tyler Hawkins is in the Wake County Detention Center without bond. Officers say he shot and killed 46-year-old Tremelia Hawkins Friday afternoon on Griffiths Glen Drive. They have not released a motive for the killing.
New this morning, we have learned the name of a woman who was killed in a crash in Goldsboro. Police responded to West New Hope Road yesterday afternoon. They say a car drove off the road there and the driver died in the crash. Officers identified the woman as 36-year-old Kendra Lewis. They have not said what caused the crash.
New this morning, North Carolina is bucking the national trend when it comes to gas prices. In its 3 a.m. report, AAA found the state average for a gallon of gas is going down at $3.33 a gallon. That's down a cent from yesterday. But the national average is seeing a 6th straight day of increases. It's now at $3.73. Remember, if you're looking for the cheapest gas in your area, use the WREL fuel tracker. You can find it by searching fuel on WREL.com.
Happening now, Vice President Kamala Harris is meeting one-on-one with Japan's new prime minister. Vice President Harris arrived in the country around 3 a.m. She's leading a presidential delegation to the state funeral of former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Abe was assassinated at a campaign event in July. Harris will visit South Korea later this week, and ahead of her visit, North Korea held its first ballistic missile test in months. Meantime, the U.S. and South Korea kicked off a new set of joint military exercises for the first time in 5 years. That started this morning. The drills involve a U.S. aircraft carrier and South Korean warships and are taking place off the Korean Peninsula's east coast. The 4-day exercises are intended to be a deterrent to North Korea's missile testing.
At least 2 events are planned in the Triangle today in support of protests that have attracted worldwide attention. We're talking about the demonstrations in Iran after a woman died in police custody following her arrest for wearing her headscarf improperly. Women across Iran are calling for justice. Dozens of protesters have been killed. We spoke with one Iranian woman who lives here in the Triangle. She is planning a vigil in support of the protests.
It's been 44 years. My people are suffering from this this government, actually, these leaders.
The vigil will run from 6 to 8 tonight on the steps of the Wake County Courthouse in Raleigh. Another demonstration is planned at NC State Student Union at 10 a.m.
Current and former paratroopers at Fort Bragg are kicking off All-American Week with a race through the military post. At 6:30 this morning, the 82nd Airborne's division run begins. It's part of a week of competitions to determine the best of the best and to celebrate the service of paratroopers past and present. This is video from a previous year. Today's run begins on Long Street, and WRL's Gilbert Bays will be there with all the details.
Starting this morning, you can expect some backups in downtown Durham. The city is replacing a section of a water main on North Roxborough Street starting at 7 this morning. It's happening between Hammond Street and Lavender Avenue, as you can see from this map. Only one lane will be open in each direction while work is underway. The bus station will also be closed there. The closures will be in place from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday for the next 6 weeks.
Ahead, the leader of a local organization dedicated to helping Ukraine says her country needs all the support it can get, despite making some advances. The assistance she's calling for is some Russian-controlled areas of the country prepare a referendum vote.
And Tesla CEO Elon Musk is set to be deposed by Twitter this week. The questions he's expected to face less than a month before the trial is set to begin.
Our 7-day forecast looks fantastic. Look at this, 82 degrees today. That's likely to be the warmest day of the week. Look at this, 70 degrees for a high on Thursday. Now, things may change for us over the weekend. Friday, Saturday, possibly into Sunday with some rain from the remnants of Ian. I'll show you what that potential looks like coming up. It is 6:13. It's a beautiful morning. We've had a cold front move through. Our temperatures are going to be very pleasant today and pretty chilly by tomorrow morning. But this morning, feeling pretty good. Our temperatures are in the low to mid 60s as the kids are headed out. There may be a few lingering clouds out there, but generally today is going to feel nice. Our afternoon temperature, 82 degrees, could be the warmest that we see all week as we see this flow of cool air that filters in. And we'll really start to feel it for tomorrow and for Wednesday as well. Our temperatures at the playground this morning or this afternoon looking good. Our temperature is likely to be in the mid-70s, mid to upper 70s, close to lunchtime, so feeling great there. And if you're walking the dogs this morning, feels good out there right now. Temperatures are in the low to mid-60s. Walking the dog this evening, temperatures should be in the upper 70s. We'll see lots of sunshine all day long. Michelle?
Alrighty, thank you, Elizabeth. Taking you out on the roads, things looking okay this morning. Still tracking this crash that left quite a mess off of Millbrook Road and Creedmoor Road this morning. There was a crash that actually knocked down some power lines. Still seeing about 400 power outages in that area because of this crash here. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Saying good morning to our southern counties down in Fayetteville. All of our major routes, 95 and 295, looking good for you this morning. I do have some drive times if you are in Durham. Not seeing any delays this morning.
A man linked to the attempted murder of a 15-year-old in Goldsboro is due in court today. Police say 20-year-old Roel Marino carried out a drive-by shooting on South Center Street Saturday night. A teenager was hurt and taken to the hospital. We're still working to learn his condition. Marino is being held in jail on $350,000 bond.
Tonight, high school students in Chatham County will get the chance to play a football game canceled because of a robbery. We told you Friday about the crime at the gas station on 11th Street in Siler City. Police say a man entered the store, showed a gun, then ran away. No one was hurt. Officials with Chatham Central and Jordan Matthews High Schools canceled the planned game that evening because of the robbery. It is now set to take place at 7 tonight. We're working to learn when a game between rivals Chapel Hill High and East Chapel Hill High will be played. We told you Friday it was called off because of a threat that investigators later determined was not credible. School officials have said when they'll reach out when a new date is set.
Tonight, parents at Durham Public Schools have another chance to share ideas about making the classroom safer. The district is hosting its second Safe Schools Summit in partnership with local law enforcement and emergency management. This is video from last week's event. Some of the ideas on the table include student education on gangs and more school resource officers. Tonight's summit runs from 6 to 7:30 at Southern High School.
This week, Elon Musk will be deposed by Twitter as part of its lawsuit against him. The deposition starts today and will last until Wednesday. Musk will be answering questions that will determine whether he must go through with his $44 billion agreement to acquire Twitter after attempting to back out of the deal. It's not clear whether he'll appear in person for the deposition or by video. The trial is set to begin on October 17th. It's scheduled to last 5 days.
New this morning, it seems Italy's newest prime minister will lead the country's first far-right government since World War II. Partial results released overnight put Giorgia Meloni as the winner in a parliamentary election. Meloni is set to become Italy's first female prime minister. She has taken a moderate stance, but her party has sparked criticism because they are rooted in neo-fascism. It will be several weeks before the new government is formed.
Happening now, the final day of voting is underway in Russian-controlled areas of Ukraine to decide whether to have those areas join Russia. Ukraine's leadership and countries, including the U.S., have condemned the referendum as a sham. The move comes as Russia drafts hundreds of thousands of people for its invasion in Ukraine. Ukraine's president says the move is a sign of weakness. But one local Ukrainian we spoke with says her country still needs support.
We understand that Ukraine is winning. All the signs are there. But we need more support. We need more weapons. We need more tanks. We need more assistance right now.
The organization Ukrainians in the Carolinas has already sent over volunteers, as well as suitcases full of medical supplies, thanks to donations. And this morning, two American military veterans captured by Russian forces in Ukraine are back home in Alabama. The two were released as part of a prisoner exchange mediated by Saudi Arabia. They were greeted yesterday by friends and family at the Birmingham airport. Both had disappeared in June while helping with war efforts in northeastern Ukraine near the Russian border.
Breaking news overnight, a typhoon causing serious damage to the Philippines is now weakening. What was Typhoon Noru blew out of the country overnight, but in its path left five rescuers dead, as well as flooding and power outages. Classes and government work have been suspended in communities across the islands. Nearly 17,000 people remain in shelters this morning. Noru is the strongest typhoon to hit the country this year. Here locally at 6:18 right now, Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We'll be watching Ian all week long, but we're starting off pretty nice here on a Monday.
Beautiful weather, at least through Wednesday and probably Thursday as well. It's just gorgeous. Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, Durham, all looking pretty this morning. Of course, it is still dark. You know, our days get shorter and shorter this time of year. Chapel Hill, that view is from the Top of the Hill restaurant. We take a look at our front. That front cruised on by, and we'll open the door to some nice chilly air that moves in. There's going to be another front that comes in tonight, reinforcing that flow of cool air. So we've got some chilly conditions coming our way. Today, temperatures will be close to normal. You see the yellow technically above normal, blue below normal, but you know, there's a fine line in there. So temperatures just a hair above normal. Our normal's 80, 82 is our high this afternoon. And then look at this big push of chilly air that comes in all week long and covers a huge chunk of the eastern portion of the United States. And we'll stay nice and cool up until we get into the weekend. And then of course, over the weekend, our big focus will be what's happening with our rainfall. Again, 80 is our normal high, 82 today. And look at how much we ride down the roller coaster to 70 on Thursday. Now, Friday could be a very wet day for us with 68 degrees, so we'll keep that in mind. We'll keep watching what our potential is for seeing that rainfall as we get into the end of the week. This is a look at the 5 a.m. advisory in which Hurricane Ian was formed. It was a tropical storm before that. It has winds at 75 miles per hour, moving northwest at 14, likely to clip the western tip of Cuba sometime late tonight, early tomorrow morning as a Category 3 storm, then becoming Category 4 here off the coast of Florida, but weakening potentially before it makes landfall. Notice the forecast fan. The storm could make landfall anywhere from Tampa all the way up here across the panhandle of Florida, so anywhere in this zone. But it's more likely to make landfall north of Tampa, but it could pass by Tampa as a Category 3 storm. You can see it's still a tropical storm late Friday night, early Saturday, moving across Georgia. And then we have the potential to see some rainfall with that storm. We can watch it here on Futurecast. This is 1:30 a.m. on Tuesday as it moves past Cuba, sitting off the coast of Florida between, say, Tampa and Fort Myers at 7 a.m. on Wednesday. And then this version of Futurecast wants to bring it, just run it right up the coast of Florida up through late Thursday. And then spreading the rain up through our area. This is going to be 5 p.m. on Friday, so most of Friday is wet, and a good bit of Saturday is as well. So, again, that could end up being a good bit of rainfall for us. So we'll be taking a look at that. It's likely to strengthen very quickly because it's going to be moving over warm water. But once it gets closer to land, it's going to run into a trough that could weaken it a little bit. We're looking at 70 on Thursday. And of course, that good chance of rain on Friday and Saturday. We're going to talk some more about what some of those totals look like for us coming up. Michelle?
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Taking you out on the road. So this is I-40 at Harrison Avenue this morning. Lots of taillights, likely people on their way to work. And taking a look overall at the map, I am tracking a few incidents this morning. I am tracking this one here up near Hillsboro. This is Butterfly Lane at Mount Moriah Road. Not seeing any delays there. That one just popped up. And then we also are keeping an eye on this just north of Glenwood Avenue, Millbrook Road and Leesville Road. They are dealing with some fallen power lines because of a crash earlier. There are about 400 people still seeing some power outages in that area, so we are keeping an eye on that for you. But overall, things in Durham, besides that crash just west in Hillsboro, things looking clear this morning.
Thanks, Michelle. Family and friends prepare to say goodbye to the second of two teens found shot to death in Orange County. Coming up, the visitation services planned for Devin Clark.
Plus, a North Carolina woman is going viral for her creative job application. The unbelievable resume that she submitted in hopes of getting a job at Nike headquarters.
Pretty creative. And then ahead on today, the new study that shows how sleep may enhance our memories and affect our learning habits.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rug and Home.
Time now with a look at what's trending this morning. A North Carolina woman is going viral for printing her resume on a cake.
How ingenious. 27-year-old Carly Blackburn is applying for a job at Nike and decided to go with the bold choice after getting the idea from her friend. So she placed an order on Instacart, and the delivery driver made sure it got into the right hands after wandering through the 300-acre property. Blackburn has since connected with an employee at the company.
Yeah, props to the Instacart driver who made sure it wasn't just left at the front desk, but got all the way to employer. I mean, they need to hire this person.
I would think. She's
creative, innovative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In.
Well done. Rihanna has confirmed she's headlining the Super Bowl halftime show in Arizona. The announcement came from Apple Music, which took over sponsorship from Pepsi. Jay-Z will serve as executive producer for the show. The music and fashion icon will perform at Super Bowl 57 in February.
So a little bit of rumor about Taylor Swift last week, maybe being the headliner. No, Rihanna, that is the show. And Jay-Z producing it. I mean, this is, and Fox 50, by the way, is where the game can be watched. So it's all on.
Looking forward
it's
to
right
it.
There. Bridgerton fans, how about this? Got their first look at the prequel to hit the Netflix show. A streaming giant debuted the first clip from Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story. This came out over the weekend. A release date for the new show hasn't been revealed, but the clip garnered more than 33,000 likes on Twitter. And coming up at 6:30, a truck and a car slam into a popular outdoor dining area in Raleigh, leaving two people hurt. Hear witness accounts of what happened.
By the end of the week here in North Carolina, we have the potential for rain because of Hurricane Ian. I'll show you the steering currents and which way it could head.
I'm Gilbert Bays at Fort Bragg. This is the spear, the tip of the spear. 19,000 paratroopers getting ready to kick off All-American Week. We'll have a complete report coming up.